who wrote the song that we began with, Isaac Watts, also penned the verse, "Could I in fancy reach the poles or hold creation in my span, I'd still be measured by my mind. The mind's the measure of a man and a woman." With that in mind, I'd like to have you notice an interesting text in Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke 11, :21 and :22. There's a blue Ford pickup with lights on. They make strong batteries nowadays. It'll still be there when they're finished. The pickup will be, anyway. Luke 11, 21, 22. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils." Have you ever wondered what those verses meant? There's a similar approach in Mark, the third chapter, verse 27. Mark 3:27. "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Tonight we're talking about Jesus revealed through our minds. And I'd like to suggest right to begin with something that no one would argue with, who knows the least bit about the human frame, that the mind is the strong man of the human being. And that the one who comes, the enemy who comes trying to destroy us, has to first bind the strong man. Right? That the big battle in this great conflict between good and evil is the battle for your mind. And the devil knows all the tricks, and he saved some of his best ones for the last. I don't know how long it'll take you to guess that our subject tonight is on health. This is a particular interest of Seventh-day Adventists, but I want to make a direct connection immediately between our health and our mind. Now, as far as this world is concerned, before sin entered, Satan had to first of all bind the strong man, and the enemy succeeded. But it was reversed, and Jesus came on a long, expensive mission, and he first of all bound the strong man, in this case Satan. And then ever since, he's been able to enter and spoil Satan's goods, which he claimed as his own. But when it comes to the battle over each individual, Christ and Satan are in a constant conflict, and it isn't just at the beginning. It's at every stage in the Christian life. The battle for our mind, which is the strong man in in each individual personality. Now, of course, Jesus made it clear that it is the mind that counts. It is not the outward actions that contain the primary issue. Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. And God has always looked at the heart, but when we speak of the heart, we are referring to the mind. However, there is another function of the term heart, which seems to apply further than deeper than knowledge, having to do with emotions and these kinds of things. And so you'll find a breakdown of heart and soul and mind in the same phrase. But all of it emanates from the mind, the strong man of the individual. At the beginning, before we come into personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, we have what is called in Scripture the carnal mind, Romans 8, verse 7, sinful mind. But God has made provision through the gospel to renew our minds, Romans 12, verse 2. And perhaps it'd be well to read those, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Another rendering of this text, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing unto God, for this is your spiritual worship. Spiritual worship. From some counsel written to our church years ago, 3T162, if men do not keep their bodies holy, they are unfitted to be spiritual worshipers. And then verse 2 of Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a very close cousin to this text in Ephesians 4, 23, which talks again about the renewing of the mind. You might want to jot that down if you want to study this further. The renewal that takes place at regeneration, at conversion, is the renewal of a carnal mind. And, of course, God has promised through the prophet of old to give us new hearts and to take away our hearts of stone. Now, Seventh-day Adventists believe in the harmonious development of the, have you ever heard this before? Of the physical, mental, and spiritual powers. And have long emphasized this. There are some people that think in the world, even among religious people, that the way you live and your bodies have nothing to do with religion. We believe it has a lot to do with religion. And that the Bible is very clear on this. The instruction that we've had to our church has been very clear on this. Hasn't it? In fact, much instruction. The favorite topic of Ellen White was the love of God. But very close to that, she became well known for her stress and her emphasis on health and healing. Well, what is it when you think of the subject of health? What is it that you usually think of as a Seventh-day Adventist? When you hear health and Adventists, what do you think of? First thing. Really? We got the same answer from both sides at the same time. Is this what most people think? Seventh-day Adventist, what's that? Oh, that's the person who doesn't need meat and who keeps Saturday for Sunday. Now, of course, if I was a meat eater, it would be very easy for me to follow this line of reasoning. Well, health includes a lot more than vegetarianism. Look at all that sugar you people eat. And of course, that makes me feel comfortable as a meat eater, right? And of course, we remember the words of Jesus, this ought ye to have done and not to have left the other undone. Now, of course, we might as well address ourselves to that point before we're finished concerning diet, but let's stay on the major issue right here to begin with. I'd like to have you notice that Jesus promised his disciples, his followers in every age, that he and his Father would come and dwell with them. A very comforting text for people in this world, John 14, verse 21, Jesus said that those who have his commandments and keep them really love him, and those who love him are going to be loved by his Father, John 14, 21. And the last phrase, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How does God manifest himself to us? Well, we could say by the sunshine and the rain, but he does that for everybody, the skeptic and the atheist and the agnostic. People who curse God have much of the manifestation of God, so it'd have to be talking about something much more than that, about some kind of a direct communication. And that's why I like the way it is said here in the book Education, page 209. The brain nerves that connect with the whole system are the only medium through which heaven communicates with man and affects the inmost life. Whatever hinders the circulation of the electric current in the nervous system, thus weakening the vital powers and lessening mental susceptibility, makes it more difficult to arouse the moral nature. The brain nerves that connect with the whole system are the only medium through which heaven communicates with us. Well, you know the structure of the brain, and we've been over this before. The three parts of the brain, and then the most important part in the human being, the cerebrum and the prefrontal lobes and the higher centers where God communicates. And I suppose you know by now, if you know anything at all about the way stimulants work, that the first part of the brain that gets knocked out by stimulants is what? The highest centers. Isn't this true? The higher centers. A person may still be able to be a good mathematician or a good businessman. He might be able to be sharp in things of the world and still have his spiritual centers knocked out. Is this possible? And the devil, evidently, being a master physiologist, knows all about the fine line between what it takes to keep a man operating to become rich and at the same time keep him spiritually illiterate. And this is the way he's worked to bind the strong man of the human system. Well, what is the relationship of the body to the mind? Ministry of Healing, page 130. The body is the only medium through which the mind and soul are developed for the upbuilding of character. So, putting these two together, you have the brain, the only medium through which heaven communicates, and the body, the only medium through which the mind and soul are developed. As we all know, the brain resides in the body. That's a simple lesson in physiology. So there's a close relation between all. and whatever affects the body affects the mind, and the higher centers of the mind are the most critical and the most crucial. And these are the centers where God communicates, where he manifests himself to us. So what does not sufficient sleep do in terms of communion with God? You people who are just around the corner from Dead Week, what does insufficient sleep do in terms of communion with God? What does not enough exercise do in terms of communion with God? What does overeating do in terms of communion with God? What does sitting up watching a late, late show on TV do in terms of communion with God? Are these fair questions? What do drugs and alcohol and all the rest of it do in terms of communion with God? Why, the strong man gets bound and then the devil comes in and spoils our goods. It's just that simple, isn't it? Just that simple. And there are many of us who have experienced it one time or another. There are thousands in the world who are victims of it. Why do we believe that this is an important subject? Because there's some pretty strong language. Just notice two texts that represent some of this strong language. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? It's an interesting way to begin the verse, isn't it? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And the other one in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. It reminds you, when you read the word defile, it reminds you of Daniel and his three companions, who would not be defiled with the delicacies from the king's table. So what you eat and drink, whatever we do, very significant in terms of religion. Seventh-day Adventists believe that. Now, when it comes to health and healing, we have some very interesting instruction that is so simple that at first glance, the tendency is to look clear over the top of it. In the book, Counsels and Diets and Foods, and of course it's recorded in Ministry of Healing as well, we have the eight simple natural remedies. These are not only remedies, but these are preventives. Have you heard of preventive medicine? I don't know exactly how the word originated. Preventive medicine. At first it sounds like some kind of a program to prevent people from taking their medicine. But if you look at it long enough, you discover that it is a method of approach that will prevent people from having to take medicine. Isn't that the idea? I was talking to a doctor in Northern California last summer at a camp meeting up there, Redwood, whatever camp meeting, and this man looked like he was probably of retirement age, and I said, well, you're retired, are you? Oh, no, he said, I'm just getting started. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I've been practicing for 30 or 40 years and ripping people off. And I just found out how to practice medicine, and I'm so excited I can hardly wait to get to the office every day. Well, I said, tell me more about it. And I discovered that he was into preventive medicine. That was his whole thing that he was excited about. And I had to finally walk away in order to do something else. He wouldn't let me go. He kept talking to me and telling me about the exciting practice that he had going. All right, what are these? Counsels and Diets and Foods, page 301. There are many ways of practicing the healing arts, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. What does a remedy mean? A remedy for a problem that is already developed, isn't it? And then, of course, you have these as preventatives. They are the means to recovery and the means of keeping from getting sick. Now, some of us pastors have been hit so often and by so many people who have had problems with their health, you know, in the parish here and there, that some of us got up enough courage to hang out our shingle without a license. And we took this little prescription, this little preventive list, and began to make use of it. And I can testify to some real success on this practice of medicine. Because as someone gave me a little poem one day, the best six doctors anywhere, and no one can deny it, are sunshine, water, rest and air, exercise and diet. These six will gladly be your friends if only you are willing. Your ills they'll mend, your cares they'll tend, and charge you not a shilling. Written by the British, for the British, obviously, but they take in six of the eight simple remedies. Sunshine, water, rest, air, exercise, and diet. And in an attempt, of course, to bring in the other two, I have made up a couple of corny lines to add to it. The cure for bad lasciviousness are trust and good abstemiousness. And so, with these people who have been on a diet of innocent, non-habit-forming tranquilizers. Have you ever heard of them? Non-habit-forming. And who are getting worse every day. Why, we have been bold enough to say, look, why don't you take a look at this little preventive and the only remedy that heaven approves and try it out. Oh, we know about that. Who doesn't know about sunshine and water and air and all that? Well, just sit down and check yourself out. How are you doing on these eight? And usually you find someone who's in trouble health-wise has a good chance of falling short on two or three or maybe half of these eight simple remedies. Just try it sometime. Look at it in your own life. I don't make any apologies for practicing medicine in this way. You want to ask a question? Abstemiousness. Hold on, we're almost there. He wants to know what abstemiousness is. Well, if you check yourself in terms of your daily and weekly involvement in these things, how are you doing? Go slow, make the list, and try it. Sunshine. And you know that there's a spiritual counterpart for every one of these? Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. Water. Inside and out, right? Inside and out. But what's the spiritual counterpart of water, too? Water of life, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Rest. What's the spiritual counterpart of rest? Sabbath? Matthew 11:28, come unto me, I'll give you rest, sunshine, water, rest, air, fresh air, lots of it, deep down in the lungs. What's the spiritual counterpart of air? What's the breath of the soul? Prayer. If you follow the spiritual analogy right on through, you'll discover the ingredients for a healthy trust in divine power. Exercise. That's where preachers bomb out real quick. We used to get exercise once a year at camp meeting, pitching tents. We don't do that anymore. Some of you jog. It's good to see you out there in the morning. Exercise. What's the spiritual counterpart of exercise? Service. Christian witness. Steps to Christ says so. Diet. Diet. What? Now you're to the bread of life. That's right. Jesus is the bread of life. What about diet? As long as we're on that. The one thing that Adventists are most known for when it comes to health. Why do at least 50% of us believe in the vegetarian approach? Why do we? Because Mrs. White was a nitpicking legalist trying to spoil all of our good meals? Or because God loves us? You know, when God comes along and says, that cancer, one of the biggies today, is largely caused by meat eating. Is that a nitpicking legalist trying to spoil our food? Or is that the love of God trying to give us a little bit of information 100 years before they proved it for our good? You know, how do you look at that? Now, of course, some of us are vegetarians because we were brought up that way. We wouldn't know what to do with a piece of meat. Do you stamp on it, or what do you do with it? And it's nostalgic to us to even think of it. But there's a deeper spiritual reason involved, too, besides health and freedom from disease. And that is meat eating is a result of sin. If there hadn't been sin, there'd been no death. If there was no death, there'd be no meat eating. And when there's no sin again and no death anymore, there'll be no more meat eating, right? And people who are taken from this world to the next are not going to have a sudden change of their appetites. Our characters are not changed at that time. And so it makes sense to become getting used to how we're going to live there, right here and now. Abstemiousness, all right? What's another word for it? Moderation. Another word for that, temperance. And another word for temperance, self-control. Does that help any? Self-control, all right? Where do you get self-control? Some people think you get it by working on it. You do not get self-control by working for it. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. Because temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. And the most miserable people in the world are the ones who try to generate self-control. It's like trying to generate love. You don't love by trying to love. Love is a result of something else. In fact, I believe that four of the spiritual counterparts of these eight remedies are the cause, and four of the spiritual counterparts of these eight remedies are the result. I believe that pure air, prayer, proper diet, God's Word, water, the Holy Spirit, and exercise, witness, in other words, Bible study, prayer, and witness through the Holy Spirit, are the cause of a healthy Christian experience. And the result of those are the other four: temperance, rest, the sunlight of God's presence shed abroad, and trust in divine power. Four of them cause, four of them results. But we're straying from the actual health issue and getting into the spiritual life issue. Let's go back to the health again. Seventh-day Adventists take a strong stand concerning our bodies as the temple of God when it comes to strong drink, narcotics, stimulants. There were other denominations who used to and have gradually become more liberal, to where it isn't very popular anymore. But we still take that kind of stand and feel justified and right in doing it. We believe that according to the statistics and according to the Bible, that strong drink is a real enemy. And as someone has well written, as a remover, alcohol has no equal. Alcohol will remove all grass stains from summer clothes. It will remove summer clothes, too. Also spring and winter clothes. Not only from the man who drinks it, but also from his wife and children. It will remove household furniture from the house and also food from the pantry. The smile from the face of the wife and the happiness from the home. Yes, as a remover, alcohol has no equal. And someone actually sat down several years ago and figured out how you can have a success over the drinking business. It's a little bit humorous, but it is sensible. Build a bar in your own home and be the only customer. This way you have neither license nor protection to pay. Give your wife $6 to buy the first quart of liquor, remembering that there are at least 16 snorts in a quart. Buy your drinks from no one but your wife and pay at the regular rate you would at a local bar. By the time the first quart is gone, she will have $6 to put in the bank and $6 to start up business again. If you live for 10 years and continue to buy from her, then die with snakes in your boots, she will have enough money to bury you, educate your children, marry a decent man, and forget she ever knew you. That's the lighter side of it, but it does make sense. Because who hasn't studied the statistics on the highways and in the jails and come up with the tragic conclusion that we aren't told the whole story? I used to, when I was a worker up in Oregon, I used to go out and give some talks at local young people's high schools and churches for an outfit called OCAP, which was specifically designed for the purpose of educating young people and older people at churches that wanted this exposure concerning the tragedy of alcohol and drink. And the statistics that had been gotten together for the purpose of those who were on this speaker's board were amazing. We spend billions of dollars in terms of research on sickness and disease, health problems. We spend far more every year with the results of the strong drink stimulants, and today, in recent years, narcotics and all the rest of it. We don't have to argue it. Seventh-day Adventists still believe that this has a lot to do with religion. And the big reason, not just because the church says no or the church says so, the big reason, because the strong man of this world had discovered the strong man of the human soul. And he knows where to hit, where to hit. We had a discussion here some months ago about whether or not the Spirit of God came first and then temperance and health, proper health habits and standards, or whether the health emphasis and the proper standards of health came first and then the spiritual life. And some of us said, well, it makes sense to sober up the drunk before you tell him the gospel, because the strong man has been knocked out. And it makes sense to put a sledgehammer through your TV so that you'll find the Bible interesting, because the strong man of your mind may be knocked out by the dumb TV. Possible? And it can make a lot of sense to do anything you can do that will deal with knocking out the strong man who has knocked out your strong man. See? Makes a lot of sense. But just this week, I was talking to someone about the TV, and I said, could you get rid of your TV? No, I couldn't. I couldn't. Really? No, can't. And so, would it be safe to say that if you have enough strength to get rid of your drugs and your stimulants, whether it's in the chemical department or in the family room department, that it makes sense for the purpose of success in the battle for the mind? But if you're so weak that you can't even do that, God still loves you. And you may want to go to your knees and ask your friends to go to your knees to even deal with that. Fair enough? That's why I have a favorite text to suggest for you tonight. I like it. It's a promise. Isaiah 49, Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Who is the mighty referred to now, as far as this world is concerned? Satan. And who are his prey? We are. Shall we be taken from him? Or the lawful captive delivered? Satan says, they're mine. The human race sold out to me. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Is that good news? Is there someone here tonight who's a captive of the mighty, or someone who might hear these words? And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. I will contend with him. And that it even goes so far as to include the children. That's good, isn't it? That's good news, too. Well, I'm glad that God and the Holy Spirit and the angels are bigger than the mighty. They are mightier than the mighty. Aren't you glad for that? There is grace for those things that captivate us. And there's power for deliverance. Let's have your feedback, your comments this evening again. Perhaps you have something to say on this subject that we haven't talked about, or you have a question to answer about something that is misunderstood. I'm through with my speech. Didn't leave anything to say. Didn't intend it that way. Yes.
Four things you suggested that led to the other four of the eight.
Oh, what are the four causes that lead to the four results? Bible study, prayer, and share, the three tangibles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lead to temperance, rest, sunshine of God's presence, and trust in divine power. In other words, air, diet, water, and exercise result in temperance, rest, sunshine, and trust. Yes, over here. Close connection between the mind and the body. The mind and heaven. Well, let's see if we can find that. Yes, ma'am. The brain nerves that connect with the whole system are the only medium through which heaven communicates with us. Education, page 209. How would a person who has a handicap connect with heaven? The same way a blind man can see. I believe that God has special grace for handicaps. But of course, if someone is hardly anything more than a vegetable, we have to leave that kind of problem with God, don't we? As to what the future holds. This is a hard area that I don't think we can find all the answers for. But I think that we do have plenty of evidence that people who have been handicapped often have special grace evident, and some of their other senses become more pronounced because of God's love. Yes?
Many years ago, I heard a missionary tell about a feeble-minded beggar in China. And when the winter time came, when the person knew about him that summer, they invited him to come to the mission to sleep, so he'd be warm. It was harder for him to find a corner than the other beggars. And he ate with them. He heard, understood a little, heard the prayer. Warm weather came, he went back out and lived in the street. Cold weather come, he'd come back. But he always bowed his head to thank his heavenly Father. And apparently that was all his mind could grasp, was that there was something up there.
The missionaries invited a feeble-minded beggar to stay at the mission during the cold weather. And in the summer, he would go elsewhere, but always come back in the cold days. And he would always bow his head and thank his Heavenly Father for warmth and shelter. And that apparently was the best he knew, but it was very real to him. And they expect to see him someday. Okay. Okay, you know, what about the person who's blind and can't read the Bible, if Bible study is so important? Does God have other ways? What was it that Milton said? I forgot what Milton said. Over here, yes. All right. Here's one that wants to give witness that since they dumped their television, their devotional life increased 1,000%. And the whole family is happy about it. How did you do it?
Gave it away.
Gave it away.
It took a lot of courage.
Took a lot of courage. Sure miss Walter Cronkite, don't you? Yes, back here. Yes, you. All right, this man wants to say that he's seen evidence, evidently, that someone who's drugged can understand the love of God, and God's grace has broken through on occasion where he wouldn't expect. Everyone understands the language of love, don't they? Yeah. Okay, right here.
I talked to a young man who was under the influence of LSD, and to help him comprehend God, I showed him a flower, and it got through.
You talked to a young man under LSD, and to help him understand God, he showed him a flower, and it got through.
Just the simplicity of a flower. Hmm.
With some kind of lasting results?
What?
With some kind of lasting results, you say?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, God works in interesting ways, his wonders. Yes. The loud cry message is not impressive because of its loudness, but because of the beauty of the lives involved. And she's thankful for that. Something that she's learned in health evangelism class just lately. Okay? Thank you. I'm trying to repeat these back. Anyone else? Yes? He's confused on the difference between the mind, the soul, and the body. Let's have a study on that some night. Someone's going to help us. Please. No. You're supposed to help us with this first, and then you can. What's the difference between the mind, the soul, and the body? Someone give us a quick answer. The soul is the whole person. You asked the question, but you have an answer. I can tell by the look on your face. And you're just trying to stir up our pure minds. That's not true? All right. Anyone else want to help on that?
The light bulb theory.
The light bulb theory? Of course, we studied body, soul, and spirit here a while back on the condition of man and life and death. And then when you add the mind, of course, that's another function. But one of the problems that we had when we talk about mind, soul, and body, and spirit, and all the rest of it, is that we tend to divide them into separate entities. And one of the most important things to do today, as I understand it, is to remember that these are different descriptions of functions of the whole person. And to go out of our way to maintain the whole person is very important in an age when the stress on the immortality of the soul and all the rest of this is very popular and prevalent. Well, let's go ahead. Dr. Anderson, with your... He points out, for the encouragement of someone who knows of someone, that there are many moral habits that are very difficult to overcome and that we are told so, and there are those who have struggled for years before they finally got on top. And it seems to be a rather common thing with some. It reminds me of a young fellow I went to college with. It was a ministerial student, and years later I visited him in jail. He had a record that went back before college days and through college days, a record that never quit. And it appeared to be hopeless. I remember one day in jail, I said a dumb thing to him. You know, I said, well, you may be one of those people who'll have to go to heaven straight from jail. And it didn't seem to be very encouraging to him at the time. But I actually felt at the moment that he was so weak that the safest place for him to be good was in jail. Maybe that would help some of the rest of us. But I was amazed to discover several years after that that there had been a magnificent breakthrough in his life. And things were going beautifully. And I said, praise the Lord. And it apparently has been permanent. It takes some of us a long time to get to the end of our own resources. Yes.
Feeling of addiction that I had to
He tells about having smoked for 15 years and then quit 3.5 years ago, but having two dreams, one of them just the other night, and awaking with the realization that he had just smoked his first cigarette again and having the same addiction feeling sweep over him. It's very interesting. It takes a thief to know a thief, and I suppose there are other people here who can identify with that. I'm glad you're here tonight in the prayer meeting instead of out smoking somewhere. Thank you. No way. Okay, good. All right. Anyone else? Time to close, I guess. Was there someone over? I thought I saw another hand over here somewhere. Maybe not. Well, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Milton. What's the actual line? Anyway, the thought was that God took away his sight that his soul might see. Did God? Who sinned, this man or his parents? Neither. But that the glory of God might be manifest.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.